And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, folks, listen, I got to tell you about the folks, the lawyers over there at Riley & Jackson Law Firm in Birmingham. So Riley & Jackson Law Firm, they're based in Birmingham, but they work all over the entire state. So you may have heard me talk about them. This Camp Lejeune water contamination thing, they've got like five lawyers working that very issue, and they've picked up a number of our Right Side listeners as clients because they heard about this discussion on the show. So, yeah, Camp Lejeune water contamination, if you were at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, as a service member, as a dependent, as a a contractor, for any period of time between 1953 and 1987, that's a long period of time, anywhere in that window, 53 to 87, you may qualify for some monetary relief because of the 19 different illnesses that have been attributed to that water contamination. Riley & Jackson's working on that. They also want me to tell you they are working on a case right now that involves firefighting foam. So if you are a firefighter or you are in the military using firefighting foam, then you may have been exposed to a carcinogenic version of firefighting foam that is got some pretty bad after effects. And so I'm just telling you, Riley & Jackson, they're working on that. If you want to know more, a phone call is all it takes. They will not charge you for the call. They'll consult with you. You'll talk to a real person. They'll let you know what's up and whether or not you could qualify. And they will not get paid unless they get a recovery for you. So here's their number. I'm about to give it to you. Riley & Jackson. The number is 205-879-5000. That's Riley & Jackson, 205-879-5000. And these folks, by the way, these are friends of mine. I know them personally, and they're not just good on the law. They're good on the politics, too, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, give them a call and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, 205-879-5000. No representation made the quality legal service before was greater than quality legal service for the lawyers. There you go. All right. Hey, listen, let's take a quick aside here. I'm going to stay with this CRT in education. We're not going to be done with this yet. But I got to tell you, there's breaking news. Just broke a moment ago that apparently there's 19 different states that have now filed a petition with the Supreme Court asking that Title 42 on the southern border, that Title 42 remain in effect. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I did see where Governor Greg Abbott said in one of his statements, if it's not about COVID, it could be about any number of health issues, not the least of which is the drug trafficking, the fentanyl crisis coming across our border. Title 42 helps them to maintain some measure of control of the border, some, limited, but some. Well, these 19 states have petitioned, and just moments ago, it came out that Chief Justice John Roberts has frozen Title 42. It will not be rescinded this week. That's major news. In other words, it continues in effect until the court lifts it while the whole thing is being reviewed. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sure that the Customs and Border Patrol is breathing a sigh of relief right now. Mayor of El Paso, the governor of Texas, the governor of Arizona, they're breathing a sigh of relief because at least they've still got one arrow in the quiver, and that's a big deal. I'm just amazed by that. So I'm glad Chief Justice John Roberts, breaking news, just literally said, nope, freeze it. Hold on here. We're going to review this first. There's that. The breaking news, but is it really? I mean, Boomer, you got that womp wah thing? You ready? January 6th commission, ready? Play it. Is anybody surprised that the January 6th committee has referred Donald Trump to the Department of Justice on criminal charges? Is anybody at all surprised? In fact, I feel like it warrants two playings of the horn, so go ahead and play it again. Yeah, anticlimactic is the word. So bottom line, though, Donald Trump has been referred to the Department of Justice by the much vaunted and heralded January 6th committee. Pray tell, what possibly could come from this? Probably nothing. Mike Pence is already on record right away as saying this is a really bad idea. And this is really not good for us. It's divisive. It's not necessary. And it's not going to be fruitful. But they're just determined. And by the way, they've also got to prove that their existence over the last year and a half has been warranted. Which, what did they prove, by the way? How much of our tax dollars did they waste? How many people have had their lives ruined? How much time did they take on TV talking about, and by the way, everybody on there just hated Trump to begin with. This was a foregone conclusion. They were going to get to today to do what they just did, but it took them a freaking year and a half, and ain't nobody surprised. It's like, wow, can you go ahead and just tell me again? Oh, there it is. Play the horns, Boomer. I'm just saying, January 6th committee, can we please see them go to the House? In fact, some of them are. Oh, that's right. Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney didn't get reelected. Ha! There's that. All right, we're going to come right back. It looks like, Boomer, it looks like it's going to be a double dipper day, man.
Double dipper day.
I'm feeling the double dipper today.
Yeah, we need to spend time on the live free die or die.
Well, we do. I'll make it number one tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Did I come out the gate and say that?
You just did.
I labeled it.
We're you labeled it.
All right. Listen, we're taking a break right now. We're coming right back. Coming into the last half hour of today's show, we're going to be finishing up this discussion on critical race theory in education. Yeah, it's a divisive topic. Yeah, it's wrong. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about down south of Huntsville to way up north of, or down south of Birmingham to way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. Proof that I don't read that, by the way. That's something that rolls off the tongue. And every once in a while, the words get jumbled. Hey, listen, I'm in this next section here of CRT and education. Before I do that, though, I got to tell you, man, cold weather is coming. Cold weather is coming. All the more reason to have a hot cup of coffee at Just Love Coffee Cafe. Boomer's laughing at how I did that. You like that segue?
That's good.
But it's true, though. So if you are sitting there on a cold morning coming up and you got to go to work and it's 10 degrees outside, which they're saying it's going to be, by the way, Just Love Coffee Cafe might be the place to stop on the way in and just go ahead and go all in, brother, and get yourself one of those extra large cappuccinos. Like, this is not the nasty cup of coffee from the nasty coffee pot in the break room down the hall at work. No, no. This is like, Charlene calls these the treat coffees, the lattes, the espressos, the cappuccinos. Good stuff. But they also have, by the way, award-winning dry roast coffees. They can grind the beans fresh, light roast, medium roast, dark roast. Now, they have amazing foods, so you can stop there for breakfast, get something for lunch, have a break during the day. But all I'm saying is this. Cold weather, hot coffee. Oh, yeah. Just Love Coffee Cafe has two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison and the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Check them out. And please, when you go, by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I get the biggest kick out of them telling me when I stop by, hey, some of your people come by here. Anyway, appreciate that. All right. Critical race theory in education. First of all, I mentioned earlier, if you did not know, I mean, we hear all the time about people like Ibram X. Kendi and others right now who are promoting critical race theory. CRT is not new. CRT has been around since the 70s. Critical race theory has actually been taught by two of its founders who currently are on staff at the University of Alabama. Go figure. Richard Delgado and his wife, Jean Stefancic, are both UA law professors. And they wrote their book, Critical Race Theory and Introduction, which first was published in 1995, but it's on multiple reprints with the New York University Press right now. So, yeah, they are professors right here in the state of Alabama at UA's law school. And they are considered leading scholars on the concepts of critical race theory. Not against it, as in promoting it as a thing that exists. Anyway, I find that interesting. I'm not calling for their banning or their removal or something like that. I do wonder how many members of their alumni association that give money to the law school know that the two founders of critical race theory are considered to be tenured professors there. But nonetheless, there it is. Critical race theory and diversity. You can go to the University of Alabama website, and there it is. That being said, the University of Alabama's faculty got real up in arms last year. So here's the thing. There was a vote that took place in our state school board. On October 14th-ish last year, 2021, the state school board voted 7-2, meaning there were two who dissented to this, but voted 7-2 to essentially ban so-called critical race theory from being touted or taught in our public schools. Okay, cool. That's our school board, so it's our K-12 systems. They're saying they don't want it in. Now, that doesn't codify with the impact of law, and that can be changed without a legislative process. So what we're talking about earlier with State Representative Ed Oliver, that codification would actually embed it in the law. It'd be statutory at that point and far more enforceable and far more difficult for radicals to change later on. Okay, all that to say, last year, October 14th, 2021, I mean, they had activists down there. This story on AL.com. They had activists down there protesting. They had one lady whose name is Faya Rose Touré, I believe. I hope I'm saying that right. She's a longtime civil rights activist, gathered before the meeting and held up signs saying, "It's about critical race facts, not theory, and slavery and segregation still hurt black children." Discrimination is inexcusable. Slavery was wrong. Hear these things coming out of my mouth, all right? Don't try to say, this is that whitewash show, that white guy's talking on the... No, this is a common sense show where we talk about things and literally say, okay, you want to claim that, make sure you can stand by it. First of all, I will say this. I believe that no state has come further than Alabama. Once the cradle of the Confederacy, it became the cradle of the Civil Rights Movement. Now, civil rights, there were movements that existed prior to, but the things that we think of now in terms of the historical context of the true civil rights movement, Martin Luther King, right there on Dexter Avenue, Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, the Selma Bridge March across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. We've got the March to Montgomery with across that bridge. We've got Rosa Parks. These things all happened in Alabama. So the state that had the capital of the Confederacy at one time, where the Confederacy was born, literally became the state where civil rights truly, in the eyes of the majority of the world, was born. And we have, by the way, had our issues, and I know it. I'm not denying that. But don't tell me that we are a systemically racist state, because we're just not. I grew up here. I'm a product of the public schools, and I can just tell you, we're not. But that being said, protesters still want to say we are, and they came down there to the school board meeting October of 2021, and they protested, and they yelled, and they shouted epithets, and they claimed that the school board was in some way, you know, regressing the state. But what they did was they took a step, and they said, we're not going to do this. We had people saying, well, in Germany, they teach the Holocaust as a model for progress and healing. Well, we don't not teach slavery. And we certainly don't extol the virtues of slavery. None of that happens. So the idea that we have to teach something different than the historical context and say that was bad and we don't ever want to be there again. No. We don't look at children and say, you know, when you look at a small child and you tell them something about themselves as an adult, understand that sticks. And when you bless a child, they will feel blessed. And when you tell a child they can do anything, they'll know they can. And when you raise up a child in the way they should go, when they get old, they will not depart from it. But if you look at a child and tell them, hey, you know, I hate it for you, but you were born a victim. You'll probably never be able to achieve because there's some people over there with a different color skin, and they're going to be your oppressors all your life. Go ahead and brace yourself. That's no way to raise a child. And by the way, there are people left and right in this nation who literally oppose that by virtue of their own existence. Dr. Ben Carson comes to mind, raised by a single mom who had to work two jobs to put he and his brothers through school. Look at him, a renowned surgeon who then went on to become a cabinet-level position in the Trump administration. Wow. Condoleezza Rice. Wow. I mean, just I could go on and on. That being said, the University of Alabama's faculty, they had themselves a moment last year, a moment after that school board meeting, a moment when they were like, what's going on? University of Alabama faculty, October 20th, 2021, AL.com again, debated how to handle legislative efforts that could impact the discussions of race equity and critical race theory. During a meeting of the Faculty Senate back then, a group that represents professors and has some power over curriculum and instructional decisions, several people voiced their concerns about recent state resolutions that affect K-12 classrooms. You know, they had one, John Petrovich, an education professor, said, this is an existential threat to everyone in the room. It's cowardice and BS. And he's just, you know, he's having himself a big breakdown. This fundamentally attacks what we're supposed to be about. Not as, anyway, you get my point. Others in the room chimed in and believing that they should be allowed to teach critical race theory at the very least as a concept. And by the way, no one says you cannot discuss whether critical race theory exists. The question then becomes, though, are you teaching it as unequivocal in fact, or are you teaching it as something that you need to be aware of? If you want to teach that critical race theory is a thing that some espouse while others disagree with, take that tack. But that's not what's happening. The Manhattan Institute did a major study, came out in October of this year. Headline from City Journal, which publishes the Manhattan Institute's documents and white papers. Headline, yes, critical race theory is being taught in schools. Zach Goldberg wrote the piece where he took the article and kind of broke it all down, the research, the graphs. I've got it all in front of me. This is a multi-pager for the resources today. But he literally says, to what extent, if at all, are critical race theory and gender ideology being taught or promoted? With little data available and no agreement about what constitutes the teaching of critical social justice ideas, the answer has remained open to political interpretation. But he goes on to say, though, that when they commissioned their major study, the results were surprising and they were not at all in some way impartial. Like, for instance, they did a study where they asked a large number of people, 18 to 20-year-old respondents, about whether they had ever been taught things in class about America being systemically racist or otherwise, and then they asked where they got their information. It's fascinating. I look at it right now. Here's the first question. America is a systemically racist country. Of those asked, the largest group was 36% said they were taught that it was in a class. Wow. 26% of them said that they heard this from an adult at their school. How about this? In America, white people have white privilege. 41% said, yes, they believe that, and they had been taught this in a class. 25% said they at least heard it from an adult at their school. 35% of those who were asked, in America, white people have unconscious biases that negatively affect non-white people. They said, yes, 35% said they were taught this in a class. 22% said they heard it from an adult at their school. It goes on and on like this. America is built on stolen land. 45% heard that in a class. America is a patriarchal society. 30% heard that in a class. Gender is an identity choice regardless of your biological sex. 31% heard that in a class. The study goes on and literally walks down through the data. But the thing that is most significant to me is the fact that this is being taught in a class. These are kids saying, they're saying, that's where I heard it. I heard it, and it was taught to me, and I walked away with the understanding that's the way it is. And here's one for you. How about with regards to the information you received about critical race theory in school, 27% said they were taught that there were no arguments against that concept. 41% said they were taught that there were arguments against it, but that they were not respectable arguments. Wow. All right, so the bottom line here, I'll go to the end of the study and just tell you what it says. Here's the conclusions. First, the claim that CRT and gender ideology are not being taught is grossly misleading. More than 9 in 10 of the respondents reported some form of school exposure to CRT. And second, educators are presenting these ideas to students uncritically, meaning if they're presented, they're not being presented as perspectives, they're being presented as fact, and the kids are being told there's actually not even any defensible arguments against it. Overall, it says, the data appears to confirm many of the fears of anti-CRT activists that anecdotal and both data-driven critical race and gender is being taught in America's public schools across the board. Wow. Wow, wow, Booms. Wow. Take me to a break, man, while I recover. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Been a full day with only two dippers. Big doings. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, folks, I got to tell you real quick before we leave for this day. If you are looking for a job, and maybe you're headed home right now, it's go home time right now, and you're thinking, I am looking for a job or I'm looking for another job, let me encourage you, go to ZLAUSA.com. That's our friends at ZLA Solutions. I know them personally. They've been supporting the show since the day we went on the air. But ZLA Solutions is literally doing an epic good job at lining up jobs and people. So if you personally are looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted on their website right now, major employer groups all over the northern part of our state. But if you're also an employer and you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce, man, that's part of their bread and butter. I mean, they do logistical solutions. They can help you with warehousing. They can do quality control and sorting and containment, all that kind of stuff. But their bread and butter, man, is staffing, temp or direct to hire. They can literally help you out. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, don't matter. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, all of it. They can get you the onesies and twosies or a whole shift of people. So yeah, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Check them out and tell them you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it very much. Got some cool texts in the text string there Booms. Chris from Gadsden. Tells me that obviously my life of privilege has kept me from seeing my own bias. I know Chris from Gadsden, and I know he is saying that with a grain of salt, as I'm not worried about it. Jeff from Indiana says, no graduates of those woke medical schools ever going to lay a hand on him. Go woke, go broke. I get it. John from Pike Road just said his wife just finished a class at the University of Alabama so she could get her higher degree in education, and the class was all about inclusion and diversity. She said, no wonder students come out of college the way they do. Wow. Wow. There's a firsthand account right there. Thanks, John. Jay from Hartzell said, I think what's important is to understand that CRT exactly is that CRT is exactly that, a theory. It's not backed up by facts. It's nothing more than a hypothesis. You cannot take a few like-minded people and then force this on the masses. If this is allowed, then there'll be nothing off limits, and our children, let our children be children. They only get to be one for a short while. On that January 6th committee, Michael Fasilikakis says January 6th committee is going to regret that when the time comes for discovery. Yeah, what he's saying there is the January 6th committee didn't allow testimony or cross-examination of witnesses. They just did their thing in their own way, and now they've basically handed a dud over to the Department of Justice. And if they ever try to bring criminal charges against Trump, he gets the opportunity for full-on discovery. He gets the opportunity for depositions, all of it. We'll see how that goes. John from Huntsville, it's absolutely critical that we get rid of critical race theory. I like the play on words, sir. Thank you very much. Leanne from Huntsville. Oh, Leanne from Huntsville just sent us pictures of her holding her Just Love coffee cup. So, outstanding.
Yes.
That's right. Heard about it on Right Side Radio. There you go. Tyler from Huntsville is wanting Jeff from Indiana to know that he's headed his way. So, I don't know if they're going to link up at Bucky's or what, but... And then JT from Lacey Springs just said that he just found his lost shirt. It was his proud to be a Right Side Ruffian shirt today. So they sent a picture of that. Appreciate all of you. All right, man. I tell you what, this does not feel like 3 hours.
Did not feel like 3 hours today. It flew by.
Flew by.
Flew by.
But, you know, nothing but good. We need some more maple bacon donuts, by the way.
Ooh, we do. We need to get some of those before Christmas.
But you think so?
I think so.
By the way, I found out the bakery right next door to the studio actually makes those.
What?
Oh, yeah. The other night when we were talking, when we had the Right Side Christmas party.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, after you left, Charlene said, I've got something for you. I said, what, baby? And she pulled out, she had bought 3 maple bacon donuts. And she had them put away because she knew they'd be scarfed up if we left them out for the party.
That's awesome. I actually didn't know there was a bakery right next to us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Right next. You can throw a rock to it.
Oh.
Don't throw rocks at it.
I won't throw rocks.
Yes, but they do make the maple bacon donuts. And, yes, they were good. So my Saturday morning cup of coffee had a maple bacon donut attached to it.
And it was delicious.
I'm feeling rather robust now. But there you go. All right, folks, what a great day. Listen, we're back here tomorrow. We'll see if we can get all 3 dippers done tomorrow. You guys have an amazing night. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. We'll see you then.